We're going to be looking at free agency again today. Some more moves going down. Free agency is almost over, but we're going to cover what's going on at the moment, Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it, indeed.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd, and I am the lead fantasy analyst at BasketballMonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter, as always, at RedRock_Beeble, and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. We are, again, looking at free agency today, the third day of free agency. We most things wrapping up, so just covering the transactions, a couple of trades that went down as well. Don't forget, if you do enjoy this show, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. I'm giving that one early today in case people tune out at the end. And on YouTube as well, hit the subscribe button and you'll never miss a show. We are, again, looking at the moves across NBA free agency today. And hey, let's talk about them right now because there were moves that went down. The first one of those we're going to talk about here is Bryn Forbes going to the Milwaukee Bucks. 2 years with a player option. I honestly just don't know what the Bucks are doing. They made a trade for Jrue Holiday. They gave up tons for him. And they brought in a bunch of overrated players on the bench. And Bryn Forbes is one of those. He shot horribly to begin last season. He shot really well in the second half of the year. And I guess as a shooter, as a guy that maybe is a 40% guy who you're not going to be playing in the wrong role, which Greg Popovich did, playing him as a starter and playing him as a point guard at times, he can be fine. But he does nothing else apart from be a shooter. And that's okay. But he's not a guy that I'd highly prioritize. We also had Harry Giles go to Portland. Giles, of course, had his rookie option declined by the Kings last year. Then they renounced his cap hold, so he's gone. He's gone to Portland. He'll be the third or fourth string center there behind Yusuf Nurkic, Enes Kanter, Zach Collins when he plays some center. And then you'll have Giles, so he's not going to have really any sort of impact at all. He's just going to be that guy that occasionally gets some garbage time minutes, and that's really it. And that's what a lot of these signings were today, garbage time. Jakar Sampson goes back to Indiana. He started out his career for the Sixers as a small forward, and now he's been playing center and power forward. He's capable when he gets in there, but there is, of course, Sabonis and Miles Turner and Goga Badadze, and we don't know how long Turner's going to be in Indiana. It appears that he is stuck there for the moment, but Goga should be ahead of Jakar Sampson, so I wouldn't be getting too overworked or overthinking this Jakar Sampson signing. It's just depth there for the Pacers. Kent Bazemore is an interesting one. He goes to the Golden State Warriors, back to where it all began for Bazemore after kicking around. And last season, he was terrible, let's be honest. All his percentages fell off a cliff. But he's in a role which I think suits him now. He's going to be playing behind Kelly Oubre and behind Andrew Wiggins. And he's going to be battling with guys like Jordan Poole for minutes, and he should be able to get past those guys. He's not going to have any sort of fantasy impact, but he should be an every night rotation player for the Golden State Warriors. I think a nice piece of business for the Warriors to get Bazemore on a one-year deal. If I didn't mention Giles and Sampson, both on one-year deals as well for Portland and for Indiana. And then the next one was a big one. It was Donovan Mitchell getting a five-year rookie max extension, $163 million, which can expand up to $190+, depending on all NBA nods. He also got, surprisingly, a player option in the fifth year. Most of the time, these guys who sign these rookie maxes, Devin Booker, Karl Anthony Towns, those players, you don't get the player option in the fifth year, but Mitchell gets it here. So after 4 years, he can be out in Utah. Of course, he is going to be putting up big numbers again this year. Don't expect bubble Donovan Mitchell to reappear during the regular season. We have to remember that with so many guys, the bubble was an artificial environment. Plus, Bojan Bogdanović didn't play. And Bogdanović is a guy, while he's not a star, he's going to take shots. And Mitchell's not going to just absorb all of those shots. So he's not going to have that impact. He's not going to shoot that well. And some of our expectations for him should be dropping off after that insanely hot, multiple 50-point game bubble performance from Mitchell. He won't play that many minutes. He won't take that many shots. And he won't be that efficient. So there are a few things to look at. But of course, is he deserving of a five-year, $163 million contract? Probably. That's probably the right amount for him. You're never going to offer him any less than that for fears that he just kicks up a stink and wants to leave. But in the end, it's paying for what they may do in the future and getting to all-NBA level. If he gets there, it's great. If it's not, maybe it's a little bit of an overpay. Same thing goes with De'Aaron Fox, who signed that same contract a couple of days ago. Guys, Built Bar is back. Yes, you know it's back. It is back with the new flavors. The best tasting protein bar ever has returned. 6 new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp to go with the original 12 OG flavors, which includes raspberry, double chocolate, and German chocolate. I'm not really sure the difference between those two, but they are there. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they are soft and easy to chew. They are low calorie, low sugar, high protein bars that are great for a keto diet and great if you're looking to lose or to maintain weight. For example, the cookies and cream bar, my favorite one, 17 grams of protein with 130 calories and just 4 grams of sugar and 4 grams of net carbs. So go to builtbar.com, use the promo code locked on, and you'll get 20% off your next order. The promo code is locked on for 20% off at builtbar.com. Don't forget, later this week, we're going to be doing a bunch of how-to shows. How to set up a fantasy league, that's coming. How to do an auction draft, that's coming. How to punt in fantasy basketball, that's coming. So your basic how-to shows are coming this week while I finish off projections for Basketball Monster, and then we're going to smash into sleepers and abusing rankings and mock drafts and all that sort of stuff. So check that out coming this week, the how-to guide, starting with the how to set up a league, which is going to be of big interest to a lot of people looking for the right settings for their fantasy leagues. Let's go on to the next bunch of guys here. And Torrey Craig joins the Milwaukee Bucks, a guy that was probably a little bit overextended at times in Denver, but he's not going to have that sort of role playing for the Milwaukee Bucks. He's going to come in on the bench and be a solid enough defensive player, probably in the rotation, almost definitely in the rotation, taking some of those minutes away from, say, a Pat Connaughton, but he is not a fantasy option really at all. But a strong signing by the Bucks, even though I didn't like some of their other ones like Portis or Bryn Forbes. I think Craig is a strong wing defender who's shown somewhat of an ability to shoot and to hit threes. A couple of two-way guys. Theo Pinson goes to the Knicks on a two-way, and Quindary Weatherspoon goes back to the Spurs on a two-way. They're not. Pinson had some moments, but they're horrible shooting numbers, not really impact players at all. While in a strange one, Damian Jones goes to Phoenix on a two-year deal. Now, I imagine there's a team option or a non-guarantee on the second, because Damian Jones has been horrendous in Golden State. He's been horrendous with the Atlanta Hawks. The Suns just already drafted a backup center at pick number 10, and you can criticize that as much as you want because it won't be as much as what I have been. And then they bring in Damian Jones. Sure, you need a third string center, no worries. But a two-year deal, I don't really understand that for Jones. But there he is. He's in Phoenix. He's not going to have an impact. The Memphis Grizzlies also brought back Jontay Porter, bringing back these guys that they had, like John Conchar and Jontay Porter, just to see how they can develop. Now, Porter's had massive knee problems, hasn't played in the NBA, but honestly, if he was right, he has a fantastic fantasy game, a great rebounder. He can shoot threes, he can block shots, really good defensive stuff, quite different to his brother, Michael Porter. Unlikely he has any impact at all this year, but at least we'll get to see him, hopefully, on a court at some stage, which would be a massive win given where he's come from with his knee injuries. Willie Cauley-Stein goes back to Dallas on a two-year, $8.2 million contract team option. Now, he came across in a trade with the Golden State Warriors last year and just didn't play. Now, the problem here for the Mavericks, I guess, is that Porzingis is not going to be playing to begin the season. He's having that meniscus surgery. Dwight Powell is returning from an Achilles injury. Now, he might be ready to go close to the start of the season, if not at the very start, but he'll be limited. He'll sit out back-to-backs. Otherwise, you're left with Boban Marjanovic and Maxi Kleber as your big men. Now, Cauley-Stein did improve quite a bit last year playing for Golden State with his block rate, but he's a horrible field goal percentage guy. He's not a usage player. He's a decently low efficiency sort of player. But if he is forced into a 25, 26 minute a night role to begin a season because of Powell and Porzingis being out, he'll be a short-term fantasy ad, and then you can kick his ass after that. Speaking of useless centers, Bismack Biyombo goes back to the Charlotte Hornets. I'm not really sure why, but he is back there. Cody Zeller is still there. They have PJ Washington, and they just drafted two centers, Vernon Carey Jr. and Nick Richards. Not that those guys are going to be ready to contribute. I thought Biyombo was not bad last year, but Borrego was sort of mixing and matching his centers all over the shop for really no good reason. Biyombo, of course, is not going to be a fantasy option. Sterling Brown leaves Milwaukee, goes to the Rockets. Their roster's all over the shop. I haven't even looked at that for projections yet because, A, I don't know what they're doing with Harden and Russ. I'll get into it real soon. And there's just some weird moves. But Brown is a guy that has impressed in the past, can be a bit of a shooter, can be a good defender, And there's a way that he can work his way into a rotation role. He's better than someone like David Nwaba, who they've got on the team at the moment. And they just lost Robert Covington. There's Daniel House there as well. I wouldn't be shocked if Brown at some point started one or two games. He's an interesting player to at least keep an eye on. Bill Hernangómez goes to the New Orleans Pelicans. Of course, Hernangómez is the offense only, absolutely no defense center that did used to play for Charlotte. He'll slide in there behind Steven Adams and Jackson Hayes and will barely play. And we'll look at his per 36 numbers and go free Billy Hernangómez. Or if you want to use a cute movie pun, you'll say free Willy. And then everyone will laugh after hearing it for the 50th time. But he won't be any sort of fantasy impact player. He sucks defensively. He can be a good scorer and rebounder, but he just can't stay on the court long enough. Speaking of the Pelicans, Etuan Moore, former Pelican, he goes across to the Phoenix Suns on a one-year, $2.4 million contract. Moore is a guy that was, again, overtasked in New Orleans, starting as a three. He's really a two. He can provide okay defense. He can be a shooter. He's not a usage player. He's not a passer. But coming in as a backup to Devin Booker along with Javon Carter, in that mix, your guard rotation, you got Carter, Moore, and Campaign coming off the bench, then Etuan Moore could come in and he could have some value as a bench contributor. Not for fantasy, really, but he could be a part of a rotation on a team that is obviously trying to push towards the playoffs. Whether they make it there or not remains to be seen, but they are trying to push towards that. And Moore is a solid veteran who can shoot a little bit and can play passable defense as long as he is not overtasked with being a three, which at times he was with the Pelicans over the last couple of seasons. Jason Tatum, like Donovan Mitchell, signed his five-year deal. Now, because he's already achieved All-NBA status, his contract is 5 years, $190 million. He, like Mitchell, also got a player option. I don't imagine there's any concern, as my stupid dog just barks at me. As I was saying, I don't think there's any danger of Tatum leaving after that fourth year, but that is an interesting development in both of the Tatum or Mitchell cases here. One that is relevant for fantasy, and the next couple are actually the next three or four of these moves, are Juancho Hernangómez goes back to the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's literally their only power forward really on the roster, unless you want to call Naz Reid that, and I don't because he's a center. But Juancho should be the starting power forward. Now, finding enough shots or for him to be efficient enough to be a super useful fantasy player is tough with Edwards, Beasley, Russell, Towns all likely in the starting lineup, but he'll get good minutes. He'll be an okay rebounder. He doesn't really generate much in terms of defensive stats, but he can be a strong rebounder, Juancho. And there's at least going to be some intrigue there. I think there might be a risk that he gets a little bit overdrafted just based on the fact that he's going to be a starter and people love Juancho. I like Juancho as well, but he's not the biggest stat stuffer of all time. And again, some of those other guys on the team around him are going to be, it just means the ball's not going to be in his hands. He'll bang some threes. Maybe he can hit two threes a game. That's what I guess they would hope as a rebounding, three-point shooting power forward. That's what his job is really going to be on this team. But yeah, in terms of, is he just going to start getting every shot in the world? Probably not. But it's a good deal for him. 3 years, $21 million. Juancho is back with the Minnesota Timberwolves and likely into a starting job because, as I mentioned, there just isn't anyone there. They made a trade later on as well, which we will talk about really soon. The other move there, Marc Gasol goes to the Lakers. Now, this is an interesting one, and it lets me at least hit this button.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Because I thought maybe Marc Gasol was finished in the NBA. I thought that he was perhaps going back to Spain. That was the rumor, but no. He heads across to the Lakers, a two-year deal. He's not the same player, and he's not going to be a fantasy guy. He's not going to be a guy that we draft. But what he is going to do, most likely, is start over Montrezl Harrell. I think that's almost a definite for me. And it's going to mean that Harrell isn't playing 30 minutes a night. Now, they don't have the other centers on their roster. Both of their centers from last year, Davis and McGee. Davis, he's still there. Oh, actually, he's not at this point because he hasn't signed. Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee are both gone from the Lakers. I think Gasol is a 25-ish minute a night player, maybe 24 minute a night player. He's super smart. He can pass. He shoots a good percentage, although he never shoots. And I think all around he's a better player than Harrell, to be honest. And I think the fit alongside LeBron is really strong and alongside Davis is pretty good as well. So he's going to come in and probably his biggest fantasy impact is going to be just nuking any potential upside value that Montrezl Harrell may have had. Because there was a chance that Harrell started, given the other centers on this roster, or played 30 minutes. And I reckon that's probably non-existent now for Montrezl, given the presence of Marc Gasol. The other news comes from Marc Gasol's former team, Toronto, because they lost Serge Ibaka and they lost Marc Gasol. And now they get a couple of guys in. Aaron Baines is in on a 2-year contract, 2 years, $14.3 million. And then they got the water boy Chris Boucher for 2 years, $13.5 million. Very, very interesting to see how that plans out. We know that Boucher has always looked like a permanent fantasy stud, and when he gets playing time, it works out, but he's significantly weaker than what Baines is. He's not the strongest player out there, and he has defensive issues, and he's also a lot older than you think. Now, Baines also has a lot of injury problems. I would imagine we're talking a minute split here. 25, 23, 24, 24, 26, 22. Probably Baines is going to be the starter, and he'll be the guy that I would look to, you know, consider as a fantasy guy. But if it's a minute split evenly, then Boucher might be the better guy. They're both going to be worth late round picks as fantasy options. But working out how they're going to run them on a nightly basis at this point, it's too early to say. But they both absolutely come into play as being fantasy options for this coming season, both Aaron Baines and the water boy Chris Boucher. There were some trades that went down. Actually, before I just talk about the trades, there was a move here that I didn't talk about, and that is Austin Rivers going to the New York Knicks for 3 years and $10 million. Rivers is not a fantasy option there. He needs really no one else to be shooting the ball and for him to be playing 35 minutes for him to become that. That's not going to happen in New York. He's probably going to be coming in off the bench in a 20, 21 minute a night sort of role. That's probably about it. And that's not going to be conducive to him having great fantasy value. All right, so let's talk about some of these trades that did go down. There was a real minor trade. Indiana sent TJ Leaf to the Oklahoma City Thunder in exchange for Jalen Lecque. The Thunder roster is unbelievable at the moment. There are just guys all over the place. There's like 23 guys on there. A bunch of them, they're going to get waived. But the roster's all over the shop. Leaf is a guy that came out with a reputation as a good three-point shooter and has shot under 30% in each of the last two seasons. Poor free throw shooter. He's just horrible and should never have been a top 20 pick. And even if he got minutes, and if he gets him over Pokusevski, I'd be pretty disappointed. But there is a chance that he could be in a rotation, just not someone to care about. And Lecque's just not going to play for Indiana. The other move that went down is, again, just add it to the pile of what the fuck is Detroit doing? Because they traded away another one of their centers that they just acquired, Tony Bradley. Because they got 17 centers, so they can afford to trade away and waive them and do whatever. Tony Bradley goes to Philadelphia. Not really sure what Daryl Morey's doing here either, to be honest. I guess getting a third center in is sort of interesting, although you could play Prison Mike Scott as the third string center if you needed to, but getting Tony Bradley in and then sending out Zaire Smith, DRC. Now, at this point, I was totally wrong on Smith in terms of his value as a draft prospect. He's been terrible, but let's get a couple of things straight. He had a serious injury at the start of his career. He almost died from an allergy, and has just never been the same since. I still have some hope in him as a prospect, but the Pistons traded for him and then stretched and waived him. Does Troy Weaver understand basketball? Does he understand the salary cap? Does he understand taking a flyer on players? I don't think so. I don't know what he is trying to do with this team. They're going to be bad. So if that is the outcome, by all means. But none of these moves make any sense. So Smith, while it looked a great reclamation option, what an opportunity for Smith to get some minutes on a shithouse Detroit team. No, he's waived and I don't know if he's going to get picked up. So just another remarkably confusing move, honestly, from both sides here. We also had the New York Knicks trading away Ed Davis, who they just acquired, to the Minnesota Timberwolves in exchange for Amari Spellman and Jacob Evans, the wizard Amari Spellman. Now, Evans and Spellman will probably get waived. The Wolves hated them. They got them in that trade with D'Angelo Russell, just never played them. They probably will get waived by the Knicks as well, would be my guess. The Knicks just accumulating second rounders, which is a pretty good piece of business from them. Again, getting a lot of these seconds in, especially in a potential double draft coming down the line. But I've never seen so many players get traded and then get traded again within a couple of days, like Ed Davis and Tony Bradley, two examples right here. Davis can probably slide in as the Minnesota Timberwolves backup center. And despite what Woj said, he is not a forward. He is a backup center and a backup center purely. But playing backup center behind Karl Anthony Towns doesn't give you a huge amount of minutes. I used to like Ed Davis quite a bit. As a player, he has dropped way off as he's gotten older and injuries have taken control of him, unfortunately. And then the last trade that went down, JaVale McGee and a second round pick heads to Cleveland. McGee will probably be, well, probably will definitely be the backup to Andre Drummond there. Again, so his fantasy value is in the toilet. And then on the way back, Jordan Bell and Alfonso McKinney come back to the Lakers. They have some partial guarantees. Who knows whether they make the roster. Regardless of if Bell or McKinney do make the Lakers roster, they're not going to be any sort of part of the rotation or making any sort of impact for this Lakers team. And then to round things off, we did have a couple of other deals go down. Isaiah Hartenstein. This guy puts up good numbers. I really, really like him. I don't know about the fit in Denver, but he's signed by Denver. He's just a name to watch. It's good to see him back in the NBA. We know that their backup center situation comprises of Bol Bol and Zeke Nnaji at this point. So Hartenstein maybe has an opportunity to earn some minutes. He is a name to watch, but it's good to see him back on a roster. And then a couple of late moves. DeAndre Bembry goes to Toronto on a two-year, $4 million deal. Not really sure of the point. Is it just to take minutes away from Stanley Johnson, who wasn't getting minutes anyway? Is it to take minutes away from Pat McCaw, who Nick Nurse loves and is terrible? Bembry just can't shoot. His defense is okay. He can pass all right, but he's not a real big option. Well, Cade Bates' D-op was just waived by Denver, and he was signed by the Spurs onto a two-way contract. And again, these two-way guys, we know they don't usually have too much impact. Although Bates Diop has been a guy that's put up some okay numbers in his short NBA career so far. So at least just a name to watch to see if any conversions happen. Speaking of conversions, Bol Bol was converted from a two-way contract into a full contract for the Nuggets. And he could be a part of the rotation this season. So that's where we're at in terms of the... The rosters sit at the moment in NBA free agency, or the moves that happened today. Let's go through one thing. I didn't cover it today because I want to know where he ends up, but Bogdan Bogdanovic signed an offer sheet with the Atlanta Hawks, 4 years, $72 million. I imagine the Kings won't match, but I don't know that for sure. So we'll give an update on that probably tomorrow when we find out. And if he goes to the Hawks, that rotation, I talked about it yesterday, how much of a mess it is. Well, if he goes to the Hawks, it's going to become even more of the mess. Well, the Kings become a team that does have a little bit of an opening there, and what that means for Buddy Hield, but his trade market, allegedly, according to Sam Amick of The Athletic, is absolutely non-existent. That's because he's not that good. He's paid too much money, and he looks to be a bit of a locker room dickhead. So all those things working against a Buddy Hield trade at the moment. As I said, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.